Hey you, welcome to Bloom Baby Bloom, a podcast dedicated to holistic living, learning, and healing from an African-centric perspective. I'm your host, Maina Chenzi, a holistic life coach, multi-passionate creative, and your dedicated digital soul sister. Hey you, good morning on this beautiful and sunny morning in Lisbon. The sun has finally returned. It had been gone a bit for a few days. It was gray. It was raining, which is great for all the trees around and the plants around. And you can see it when you walk that the plants have been happier. I hope wherever you are also enjoying the great spring weather. And yes, we are going to start out by talking about weather because it does affect us, at least for me. If you're listening to this podcast, if you already know a bit about me as an HSP, but also as a nature lover, I just adore the seasons. I adore how things change, and I love how they affect us, and I love that they remind us of ourselves as well. So whenever I see nature, like, just doing her thing, it just makes me appreciate more our own natural rhythms, our own natural existence that also go through seasons. I was also recently listening to this podcast. I think it's on the Highly Sensitive Person podcast, but they were interviewing a therapist who works a lot with living seasonally. And I thought that's so cool. Like, I never really thought about that. I know about eating seasonally, but living according to the seasons and seeing yourself seasonally, I've never really thought about that in that way. Of course, in my book, In Constant Bloom, that's quite similar to the things I played with, but it was more sectioning my life through the seasons, not so much actively practicing a life where you live through the seasons. I was so interested in it that actually I have to make a note because I like to read more about her stuff just to learn how that looks like, because I was intrigued by it basically, and listening to her made me feel like, that really sounds interesting and like something that would be nice to incorporate as well. So I am definitely going to check it out and see what it's about. Maybe once I've learned a bit more about it, maybe and incorporate it, I could also share it a bit with you guys as well. But otherwise, you're also welcome to research it and look into it. Or maybe you already know about it. But yeah, so speaking about nature and the lovely weather we have here in Lisbon currently, and also during the current situation we are all living under, and from our side, a lot of the restrictions have been lifted to some degree. You can move about as you please. You can go to shops. Masks are still obligated. People are still wearing masks in crowded spaces. And of course, public transport, inside shops, wherever. You can eat outside restaurants, but not inside. So I feel really bad for all the restaurants that only have inside sitting. Even though it's like big, they are forbidden from serving people, which to some degree I feel is a bit silly, because you could technically, in a big restaurant, have a few people as long as you're, like, you're putting them, I don't know, table by table, whatever the measures they are they want to implement. I just feel sorry for all the small businesses. Like, every season there is like a new regulation what they can and cannot do, and that might be really draining to keep up with all those while at the same time having such an insecure future and not really also knowing how long you can keep adapting to the things that are going on. But I know in some way or another, everything will rebalance itself like it always does. Like, that's just the law of life. Like, things always balance it each other. And I also am constantly reminded of the fact that on a bigger scale, even we and all the things we do is natural to some degree, like not to some degree, cannot be anything but natural, because on a bigger scale we are all part of the same cosmos, and nothing we do or create is foreign to it, you know? When you think about it like that, you realize that, yes, sometimes a fish can freak out on land, but because its natural habitat is water. But still, land is part of the bigger picture of its existence, right? It might not have a positive effect on it, but the cosmos and the world is sustained by the balance of the positive and the negative, life and death, good and bad. Maybe even there is no, that is more of a human invention, but because we invented it and we are also part of the cosmos, it's also part of that. But I think nature is more balanced outside of that moral compass. I imagine definitely more around the energetic balancing rather than the moral balancing. So every action has an equal reaction. Everything always balances itself out. So with that in mind, we just have to be good at staying balanced while the rest of the things try to balance themselves out. Of course, not in a way of preaching inaction, but trust that this existence is beyond even ourselves. And when things get really chaotic down here, it's a beautiful thing to zoom out and remember it's bigger than what's happening down here, right? Anyway, so beyond all that, today's topic I wanted to speak about slow living in the big city. I've been living in different places, I would say. I've lived in small towns, I've lived in villages, I've lived in busy cities, I've lived in a mix of community, should I say, and bigger communities. And the most challenging thing, obviously, sometimes is to live a slow life, an intentional life in a buzzing city, especially if you are sensitive, especially if you are somebody who's affected by the energy of your surrounding and the pace of your surrounding. And currently living in Lisbon, Portugal, I'm also again being reintroduced to how to incorporate slow living and how to naturally, which is interesting because sometimes I don't even think that that's what I'm doing, but my HSP nature just gravitates towards that. For example, even when I lived in a place like Copenhagen, which to many, it's not a big, big city, but it's the biggest, it's the capital of Denmark. And even there you can see, especially during summer, especially during tourist season. Now imagine that is like, Copenhagen is almost seen, at least I see it as a village big city. Because yes, it's a big city, but it still has the charm of a smaller town, you know, like it's not overwhelming, which is exactly my kind of city. And Lisbon, in so many ways, also reminds me a bit of Copenhagen. Of course, you have the whole architecture, but in the sense of the colors, it reminds me a bit of Copenhagen. And the colorful houses and buildings, you have it here too. The lovely small streets that you will find, the Kolb streets, pavements. There is just a vibe that is similar in that sense, but it's basically Copenhagen times 5 or 10, right? It's a bigger city and it attracts a lot of people, whereas Copenhagen also attracts a lot of people and it's smaller, so the places that attract people can feel very crowded. I like that in Lisbon. It doesn't particularly have a monument, it doesn't particularly have a place where everybody's gonna want to go, you know. It doesn't have, for example, an Eiffel Tower that is like really advertise as the token of that city or other places where everybody wants to go and surround and be around, which crowds the areas, right? But still, even though it doesn't have that, you still experience areas that are really crowded. When I started living here, I lived more in the center, or closer to the center. I lived in Santosh, and then I also lived in Shado. And Shado, if you are familiar with Lisbon, are some of the biggest, like, busiest neighborhoods, I would say. Maybe even Santosh is a bit quieter, but it's quite close to Shado. It's close to Baixa Shado, as I'm saying. That's like the main street where you go to do the main shopping. It's like the center. So there's a lot of people there, lots of traffic. And when tourist season arrived, that was a whole different experience. Like, because when you're a tourist, it's different. You put up more with crowds when you're a tourist because you are just, you know, you're on vacation, it's all right, you know, look at all these people, la la la. But when you live somewhere, there is something about, like, your Monday to Friday being crowded by tourists while you're just trying to get your groceries so you can cook, so you can prepare for the next day. Like, it's a different feeling. And right now, I live in Alcantara, and that is more of a Portuguese neighborhood. Like, of course, it still has a bit of the touristic areas. Like, we have Elish Factory, which is like just a collection of small shops and restaurants in an old industry area. There's also a marketplace that takes place there every now and then. But it also has all of those old Portuguese bodega. It has the old cafes. It has, you can see that it's a living space more than a touristic space, which I like. And just behind where I live, there is this huge park, this huge, beautiful park. And then on the other side of where I live, like on the top of me, there is that huge park. And then on the other side of my building, there is the river. So you have a bit of space where you can go to have space, you know, because one thing that happens when you live in a city, you don't notice it, but you don't, like, everywhere you go, there is a house next to you, like, or a building next to you, or a road, you know. So for me, I've noticed that it really helps to be in spaces that are just either open, or if they're crowded, it's nature. That would be the first thing I think I could say is how I incorporate slow living into my life, is making sure, and that's also one reason that I really love where I live, is that it has access to those beautiful spaces, natural spaces, and where you can go and have your eyes look far, which we don't notice it, but it's such an important thing, your eyes to be able to see open space and look further, because we spend so much time looking at screens, looking at walls that we live in, looking at the buildings around us, and the ability to be able to see far is so relaxing and soothing. It just creates a feeling of space that makes you less anxious and less claustrophobic. So going to the river and enjoying either a morning or evening walk does that for me. And especially if you include a sunrise or sunset and you have that beautiful display of nature's art just warming you or painting the sky, it also does something. It helps you to calm down a bit. I also like to follow the tides in the river because it also tells you a bit of the cycles of the moon. So when I go there and I see the water's high or the water's low, I know where in the season of the moon we are. And that, again, it's a sense of giving you that feeling of the bigger picture and grounding you in the bigger reality you exist in rather than this, you know, bit of a bubbled-in, fast-paced life that you might pick up on in bigger city. One thing I've also realized is during the lockdown, because not a lot of things were open people moved about in the city differently because they weren't particularly going anyway. Like, besides work, maybe going for grocery shopping, nothing else was open. So people walked differently when they were outside. And you can kind of feel like that fastness is coming back to the city, even the driving. You notice that people are rushing again, which is so interesting because you kind of expect that this experience of slowing down like would bleed out. Of course, I'm sure that it bleeds out to a lot of people because I do realize a lot of people are questioning, how do I move forward from this? What kind of things do I want to incorporate in my life because of this experience? But you can also notice how easy it is to plug the system back in, and then people are just doing what they were doing before, rushing to places. You can even sense it in the fact that we have so many options now again of what to do. And you always feel like more choice the better. But there's also something exhausting about having so many choices, like so many choices of restaurants or events or areas to go even see the sunset. Because you have those many options, you can also have a feeling of decision fatigue or decision overwhelm. Like last night after work, my roommate and I, we wanted to go out and eat because the restaurants are open again, and just it was nice to be able to go out and get something to eat. And even earlier this week, oh, I've just noticed I was out to eat twice this week. I didn't even think about that. Need to be on my budget, which is another thing. It was easier to save money before, and now I have to consciously like put that in and be like, oh, remember, like, we're trying to save up for something. So, but yeah, like the options that you have make it seem more inviting, but also more overwhelming, where to go, what to eat. Whereas before, you were just happy if something was available on delivery or if something was open close by. Like, I don't know, like all those things, they make you realize that a bit more, that how it feels to have all these options, how it feels to have so many things that you can do on the weekend. Whereas before, the weekend was always for walking and working on project because nothing else was open. So we would maybe pick, what do you call it, like a neighborhood to explore, and we would go there and walk around, and that was that. Or we would go to nature, or we would walk by the river and walk as far as we can, go to the beach. But now there is so much you can do. There's all the restaurants by the river. There's all the museums that will slowly be opening up again as well. There is all the events that are picking up that outside. So you can just feel like, oh, there are so many things I could do, right? And that is just the normal way of existing in a city, that you have so many options and you can feel overwhelmed by all these options. But it's important, like I always say, sometimes there are moments to go with the flow, and then there's sometimes where you have to write your own flow into existence and know what I'm going to do, where I'm going to go this weekend or after work or in the morning, so that I'm not just buzzed off in the crowd, like lost with the direction of where everybody's going and the pace of how everybody's walking. So that would be the first thing I could also share is, or the second thing, is finding your own rhythm and creating your own agenda within the environment you live in, so that you don't experience much of that option or choice fatigue, decision-making fatigue. But because you've already planned your day or your week, all the things you would engage in for social, the errands you're going to run and where you're going to run them, it feels less overwhelming. Now, another thing I do in big cities that makes me feel more calmer is, if I can, I avoid public transport, especially during rush hour. One important thing for me right now is the fact that my work, of course, allows me to work at home. Because we are a big company, and if we were to go back to the office, we would be still too many people in the rooms. So we might be looking at a year of continuing to work from home, and I am all for that. I've loved the whole work from home thing. I'm a big fan, would recommend, don't want to go back to office life. One thing that was really important for me before all of these, before the lockdowns and the pandemic, was making sure that I lived in walking distance of where I worked, because I'm okay walking 30 minutes to work, but I don't want to be in transport for 30 or 40 minutes in the morning where people are rushing, where people are stressed, and just that energy in the morning of people going to jobs. I just don't like that energy, and I don't want to be in it multitude of times. Like, in the sense that you do it in the morning and in the evening, and you're bathing in each other's energy on a big scale in these times that are not enjoyable for most people, especially if you're going towards a direction that is quite busy, so your transportation is always filled with a lot of people. It's a stressing environment that I prefer to avoid. And so I would prefer to walk to work or maybe bike to work. Now, when it comes to even walking and biking, even when I lived in Copenhagen, there are certain routes that make it faster to get to where you're going, but those are also clearly the ones that would be the busiest, because most people are going to pick the fastest routes, right? And so from early on, I just decided that naturally, I didn't even think, I was like, oh, let's do this instead, but I would always feel so claustrophobic or annoyed at the busy streets, because of course, and I understood, like, they're busy because that's where all the main shops are. They always lead to the main spaces or areas or gathering spots, but I just knew that I could avoid that by just taking even a street parallel to that one, right? You would see that it was slower, it was less crowded. And if you did that another, the second, third or fourth street from the big one, it would be even slower. So you would get to have a feeling of going to the same place, but without the rush and the stress shared in a bigger crowd. So that's also something I practice here, especially usually during my lunch break. I also go for my lunch walk. And I remember one of the first days since things opened up in a long time, stepping out of my apartment building and being like, wow, that's a lot of people. Like, they were just everywhere. And I had forgotten how busy this area also gets. And I was like, no, we're not ready for all of these people. But luckily now I know the area a bit better. So I know how, which streets to take that will be less crowded and will take me to the same spot, right? And so I just did that. Like, I just picked the quieter streets, the slower streets, the less busy streets. And I go on in my merry way, and I can still have that feeling of slow living, even though I'm in a big city, and I can avoid that shared energetic stress and buzz that some people love and is the reason some people live in big cities. But it's not necessarily why I live in a city, especially when it's everyday life. Of course, like, every now and then it doesn't matter. You can do that. I enjoy that. Let's go. But everyday life, that can be too much. That can feel overwhelming. So finding areas that you can exist in that are less crowded, that for me already makes a difference. And speaking of less crowded and even smaller, another thing I could add to that is, even when you go to do your groceries, picking times that are less busier, because we all need to eat. You need to go get your food, girl, right? So I try to, even if you do it like an hour later than rush hour or an hour earlier than when people wake up and do groceries. For example, on the weekend, most people are mostly going to be at the grocery store around 10, 11-ish. So in order to be there before the crowds, you would have to go when they open, which is perfect for someone like me who's already an early person. But if you're not an early person, then you can just go later than late, you know? So most people will go to the shops in the evening after work, which is around 5 or around 6. So by just going around 7, already there's less people in the stores. So just those little tweaks, it's kind of like senior times, you know, like that's usually when senior people go to places, even pharmacies or what have you. They always go pretty early. And by doing that, they are able to, you know, go in their own pace, because it can probably feel very overwhelming for people who are also older and just physically cannot move as fast, and to be in big crowds and everybody else is so such in a hurry, you know, like, you know. So basically, they have the game figured out. And if you just go on senior time, that would also be beneficial to you, because that's when things are a bit slower and the pace is a bit more slow down, basically, not to repeat myself, but you get the idea. So that's the other thing. And then also particularly where to buy stuff. One thing I really like is there is such a, which of course, sadly, this is also some of the areas that are being highly affected by the lockdowns are smaller businesses, but some are still open and hopefully thriving and managing at least. And so that's another thing I've always loved in smaller, in big cities, are the options, of course, of smaller businesses and even more niche and unique businesses. And these are also businesses that don't necessarily attract a big crowd. So you can go in there and just enjoy looking at the things and take your time shopping, and it's not too busy or overwhelming. For example, even if you go to secondhand shops, little reminder, buy used, recycle, and repurpose. But yeah, like just secondhand shops, you know, I love a good secondhand, a vintage store. They will not be as crowded as your typical Zara or H&M. So going to shops that are smaller, or even, what do you call it, like specialist shops. So if you're looking for a hat, if you go to a hat shop, if you're looking for a shoe set, shoe shops just for that. And that's also something I really like about Portugal. They have such, so many specialist stores, you know, where it's just that. If you want yarn, you go to a place that is specifically selling that, or clay or plates. Just places that are dedicated to one item or an area of items. It's also makes you focus more, because that's, you know, I'm going to buy yarn, so I'm not going to go to a big ass store that also has yarn but everything else, because then you get distracted and then, oh, I could also use that, oh, and that. You're more focused. You're like, this is what I'm here for, and let me look at the best I can get in this specialty. And then, like, they also have, even for food, you can go to a place that is just for fruits and vegetables or for just plants. So if you know what you're going to get, going to such places are less crowded and they're more focused, and you can be more focused on what you're there to get and do your business, you know, support a small business, get what you need and go back home where you're up to, where you need to be. So that's definitely one thing I could also recommend, is in big cities, finding small spaces and finding small shops and small galleries, small cafes, small restaurants, even doing a little bit of a walk around and knowing that not everything is obviously going to be on the main street or in the main spot. Like, wander a bit off, get lost, you never know what you find. And instead of like fighting to fit into the small areas that are left in your favorite restaurant, but it's in a crowded area, you might find a smaller shop or a smaller cafe somewhere else, which is also cute and open to your business. And also, if you look even in your own local neighborhood and finding spots in your local neighborhood that are your style or your vibe, that always feels good, because it's nice to know that your money is going back into the community you live in and giving back to small business owners that are, yeah, making your area nicer to live in and giving you options of where to go, where to meet with friends, where to have food, or even where to buy stuff. So That's another way you can practice slow and mindful living and also supporting your ecosystem that you live in a way that also reduces your stress. But obviously, not everything that you need to feel calm and slow down can be found in the big city. So I would also recommend another tip is planning small getaways, you know, even if it's for a day. One thing I really love about Lisbon, transportation is quite cheap. And if you want to maybe go away and spend the day in another town or city, like for example, there is Sintra, which is not so far from where I live, and you have a direct train there, and you can go there, I think, for 5 or 4 euros. And there you are in a totally different space, and it's like a mini vacation. Like you can have a day vacation on the weekend, and you can spend the whole day there. You go in the morning, you walk around, you have your lunch, dinner there, and come back home just in time for a shower and a movie night. Like you can do that. So when you need a getaway, when you need to breathe in more space, when you need your eyes to look at further destinations or look at something new, or even just for your brain to engage in a new area, because I notice it, like even in my brain, when I walk somewhere and I'm like, oh my god, I've never been here before, this is so nice, I like this street or this area that I've never been to close to where I live, like something happens in my brain, like da 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 da, I don't know, it's something nice that takes you out of the repetitive routine. And because you're somewhere new, you pay attention differently. You are more present because your brain is trying to catch up. It's trying to either find things it can recognize or store the new things it's seeing and experiencing, right? So by giving yourself little getaways like that, it's also another way to get a break from your everyday routine and to be more present because you are somewhere new that requires you to be more aware of your surrounding and requires you also to take time to enjoy your surrounding. So that's another tip I could give that I also use when I feel like, oh, okay, I'm feeling a bit claustrophobic and I feel like everything is gone on repeat, even though I love my routines. Like if I want to just break away without going too far or spending too much money, that's the way I can do it. And I feel just as restored as if I had gone on a mini big vacation, you know, like just that feeling of I've seen something new, I've eaten somewhere new, I've explored and engaged with maybe some new ways of existing. Like that brings you back with a feeling of, ah, you know, okay, I can live in my old space with a new perspective, right? And I really feel like that is what slow living is also about, is being able to breathe in and breathe out, being able to be mindful and present, and being able to be self-aware, which sometimes is just more challenging in a louder, busier area. Speaking of loudness, I would also add to the fact of if you live in a big city, you can still live as in your actual home. You can also find quieter places in a big city to rest your head every day and have your Monday to Friday life. And it's so funny because that's also something, I think I've mentioned it on the podcast, that when I first moved here, I was, like the current building I'm living in, the room I lived in had a beautiful view, but it was also facing the busy street. And of course that was nice sometimes to look out and see what people are up to. If I had guests over, I could look out and see when they had arrived. But that also came with a lot of noise, and it was just non-stop noise. Like even in the night it was busy, and it would sometimes of course also affect my sleep because it was just constant noise, right? Either from the traffic or people, or even when people return from work, or even maintenance, like cleaning that happens very early or at night when they're cleaning the trains and the tracks of the trams, like all of that was really disruptive to my sleep and my calmness, right? However, now that I've changed and I just changed rooms and live on the other side, So my space is facing the compound of the buildings that are in our square block, right? Rather than the streets. And just that has made a huge difference. Like, I sleep like a baby. I sleep so well. I can't even, like, sometimes I wake up and be like, all I did was sleep, you know? Like, I heard nothing. I felt nothing. Like, I'm just in my room asleep and I'm not going to be disturbed. And that felt so good. Of course, when I first moved here, there was construction happening just across from my room. Because there's a building being built in the compound, or like being remodeled in the compound. And that was loud, right? But it was loud until a certain time because people gotta go home. And so even during that time, I could still sleep at night and have a good night's sleep. But now the construction has slowed down a bit, and even that is not as loud anymore. And I also have a room that is able to be detached from the other room I have, which is more like my studio or working space. And then I have a room that is closer to our hallway, a room between our hallway and also the room that has the window, and there are doors between that I can close. And when I close them, I have darkness, so I can sleep perfectly sound because I have that buffer room to take any sound that might come from the other side. And then on the other side of the door, it's just our hallway where nobody's walking or doing anything when we sleep, so that's perfectly quiet as well. So just decreasing your amount of sound that comes from the buzz and the busyness of a street, that also makes it quite easier to live in a big city. At least for me, like, every time I come back home and I go in my room, like, ah, oh, like, it's just a little escape from the busyness of it all. Like, it gives me the best of both worlds, that I can enjoy living in a cute city and that has so much to offer, but I can also come back to my little quiet cocoon and, yeah, like, just be in my own quiet bubble and in my own pace without being disturbed by the busyness of it all. I would also add another form of noise, obviously, is the noise of light, which often at night are put on so that, what have you, like, people can feel safer navigating, obviously. But I would say that that's also something I don't have to be affected as much by because of where I live. In the room I live, it's just not directed towards the city or the street lights that need to be on so people can navigate. But I also say that one thing they do very well in these kinds of cities that I used to longer sunny days is that they always have an extra layer that you can shut down with your windows to block out the sun, which also, of course, at night blocks out all the city lights and what have you. So that is definitely something that can still give you that feeling of, okay, I shut down the outside world and I can live in a little dark or calm or quiet bubble and breathe in and relax and follow my own pace and be aware of how I am feeling without the input of everything around you. So I would say that, and obviously if you also live in a city or a busy space where that is not offered, there's so many ways you can add that, like blinders to your light, to your windows, so that you can stop light pollution coming in at night and you can have a good sound of sleep, especially because in cities like this that are also very old, and because they're in warmer countries, they don't have a lot of insulation when it comes to both walls and also windows. So you get a lot of air coming in, but also you get a lot of noise. You can hear a lot of the people around. So making sure that your living area is in a quieter place already, that helps. And you're living with people who are also respectful of sleeping time, waking time, all of those things that will make a difference in your well-being, even though you live in a more busy and fast-paced environment, right? I think the final thing I could add to this is your company, like the people you hang out with and the relationships you form in bigger cities. So one of the things a big city definitely has is a lot of people. And with many people comes the fact that you have more options to make connections, to meet people. Even though I would guess that it's also challenging at the same time because all these many people already exist in a bubble of their own crowds. and especially once you start working, you might be exposed to colleagues or making friends, from your work, or the friends of colleagues, or I don't know, unless you do hobbies and other things, you go to events or join organizations, it can be quite challenging still, even though there are more people to make friends, I guess. But at the same time, I would also say you can also get stuck into the whole over-meeting people. Well, not I, obviously, because it's never been my life. But I know that obviously people who love to meet people and also live in different cities and big cities because of the people factor, that is something that can be just as overwhelming as the options of where to eat and which event to go to, because they feel like there are so many options of people's and interaction and hanging out. Like, I know several people when I ask them every time, like, what are they up to? Like, you know, colleagues and such. They are always fully booked. Like, oh, I'm going to this and then I'm going to have friends over. And then, like, even every vacation, every space of alone time is fully booked because you have that option. You can fully book your calendar in a bigger city if you want to. But I think that's also another thing that you have to listen to your own rhythm and your own needs, because if that's not something you can sustain over time, that can also be another factor that overwhelms and drains you. So being aware of your own capacity of interaction and socialization is key in managing that factor, that just because there's high supply doesn't mean you have to engage with all that supply. And it also goes to romantic relationships. Like, obviously you're going to meet more people if you're single and dating in a bigger city. But, you know, it's all about quality and not quantity. And you don't necessarily need to meet so many people to find quality. And knowing where your people will be and knowing where you want to hang out and where you want to have a group of people hang out with you in, or the spaces or things you want to do. Like, one thing that is important for me, that even though I am slowly building a small community here, yes, even with all these lockdowns happening, I have managed to somewhat like collect a group of people that I know I can hang out with and enjoy hanging out with, which is even more important. I also have all these people, like, they are all spread, most of them now, like, in different groups or settings. So just because it's the way I prefer to hang out, like, sometimes I will do, like, let's go for a hike in the forest together, and we might go like maximum three people, which is my preferred crowd. But you could do more than that, obviously. But usually I like to have one-on-ones with my friends, and I enjoy that I don't have to be in a bigger group just because there is more options of being in a bigger group. But I can still do one-on-ones with my friends, and I can go with one friend to the museum, one friend to a walk by the river, one friend to the market. You know, like, there are so many things you can do, but you can still keep that space of intimacy and getting to really build deeper connections and holding space for each other that is more intentful, because it's just the two of you, than you would be able to in a bigger crowd. At least that's why I prefer one-on-ones. But if I know both people well, I also don't mind, of course, having a bigger group every now and then, but it's not my preferred go-to every day or every week socialization. And also, of course, making space even in that socialization for just being by myself, especially when you have like those two golden days off. For me, it's quite important that they're not overbooked with social events. And my rule is usually like one social event per week, if I have any, so that I still have one day of nothing, of like lower interaction demands, which for me is also how I re-energize and get ready for a new week. I need to have space to just be by myself and process the week that passed and prepare for the coming week. And also, of course, in there, I also like to have social time with people, like engage in beautiful conversation, catch up with the people I care about. And having a balance of that in a big city also comes to being mindful and aware of your own wiring and what you need to thrive and what you need to stay balanced. So I would say that one, like all the others, it's up to you. But just basically, I think to summarize, it's not impossible to have a slower pace of life and to do things at your own pace and to engage in smaller spaces, even in a big city and a fast city, right? But even saying all that, there are also cities I wouldn't challenge myself doing all that in. I feel like even though I've lived in bigger cities, to some degree, they are not the most overwhelming of cities. And I don't think I could happily exist in a city that is even busier than, let's say, Berlin, because I've lived in Berlin too, and I've lived in Paris, and now in Lisbon. Like, yes, those are busy cities as well, but there are also cities I can imagine that are even more busy and chaotic, and that would be too much. And I think as I get older, just the city life, I can feel like, okay, it's lovely, and I've managed, especially as an HSP, as somebody who likes slow living, but can still manage to do that. And also, like, one thing I want to also add to this long as podcast is having a garden, having plants indoors, and that also is something that I really love, even in a bigger city, that you can do that. Like, we have a little balcony, and I recently bought seeds. I even managed to find, like, organic seeds for some things, and I'm so excited to get my little planting on. Growing some things, even though you live in an urban area. But yeah, so basically those are the few insights and tips I could share on how I've learned over the years to live slow, even in a big city. And I might have another adventure of a big city coming up next year, but it's a city obviously I've lived in before, and knowing that also helps. So it also makes it easier to know where and how you want to coexist with the bigness of a city. And there's also all the suburbs. Like, you can live close to a big city. You don't have to be in the center of the chaos. You can have the best of both worlds, which for me, it's the ideal way. Like, to live an hour or half an hour away from a bigger city, but having also the slower pace and bigger open space experience as well. Like, that's the goal of where I'm going in life. But yeah, I hope you've enjoyed this podcast. I hope it's kept you company and given you ideas. I wonder where you guys live, like you who listen to me right now, who I might have intervening your own mental space with my voice. But I hope you've enjoyed this and it's given you ideas. And I hope you take care and you're enjoying the weather wherever you are and being mindful of yourself and staying holistically balanced. And if you ever need some guidance with that, always feel free to check out Bloom Baby Bloom and book a session with your homegirl, with your digital soul sis, and I would be more than happy to help you on your journey in living a more holistic and slower and decolonizing your existence wherever you might be, because we can't always choose where we are. And therefore, it's even more important to know a bit more about these little hacks we can do to exist in balance and well-being, regardless of where we might be. Anyway, I will talk to you in my next episode. Do take care and have a lovely day. Bye. I hope you have enjoyed this episode on Bloom Baby Bloom. If you have any questions or comments or just little highs, please feel free to reach out here or on our website at bloombabybloom.com. Otherwise, as always, I send you love, courage, and light to guide you on your path to your truest and most abundant self. You are so very worthy. See you next time. With love, May.